Dirt and Sprague.
I really do believe they're either going to live up to the hype or they're going to have a very mediocre season.
Starting your day with a big cup of dirt.
No, I'm not a bro.
And a little splash of Sprague.
Peekaboo.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
All right, welcome back in. Hour two, Dirt and Sprague here on 105.1 FM and the Fan Sports Network, 1080 AM, YouTube, the Odyssey app, Twitch, you know, you name it, we're there.
We're here, baby.
Welcome in, Tuesday morning. I have calmed down now after reliving a traumatic conversation with
my wife.
That
would be traumatic.
Yeah, that would ruffle my feathers.
Would your wife know? Like, your wife
knows. My wife knows. She's well aware.
She also, I guess, has a brother and
a she's more into sports, I think, from her childhood. She's been around sports her whole life. She's aware. She knows Duck Game Saturdays, NFL Sundays. We sing the Waiting All Day for Sunday Night song in our house. We turn that song up at about 5:05 on Sunday evenings. Dinner's usually cooking. And we blare that bitch out and go, waiting all day for a Sunday night. All right, it's a fight. It's finally here. Sunday night football's kicking into high gear. Da, 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 da. I don't know all the words. Dude, every Sunday, man. Every Sunday. Yes, it's so good. Yes, Carrie, I have been waiting all day for Sunday night football. I'm glad that you asked. Thank you for checking in on me.
Swag's wife, you don't have this problem, do you? Does she understand?
She understands.
But, like, she understands what you're doing, but, like, does she understand the difference?
Yes.
You're confident in that?
Yeah, with the difference between...
Like, college and NFL?
Yes.
Saturdays and Sundays?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. All right. I mean, I've already warned her. They're like, look, you got me on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays.
I have soccer and basketball potentially looming this fall.
Good luck.
Trying my hardest to figure this out.
First Sunday night game of the year, Ravens at Bills.
Oh, the first weekend of NFL, we get
come
the,
on into my living room, Carrie.
The Brazil game. Is it Vikings, Packers in Brazil? Who's it? Who's in Brazil?
Chiefs and Chargers.
Oh, Chiefs, Chargers.
Yeah,
there
Chiefs,
we go.
Chargers on Friday night. That is your that's the YouTube game, I believe, right?
Oh,
yeah, the YouTube game for everybody.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm going to cry. I'm so excited.
Can't wait, man. Can't wait.
Diana Rossini's like, the Broncos are going to be better than the Chargers this year. And I'm like, oh, are they?
Okay.
Give me all the tags. Let's go.
We'll see. I can't wait.
College football is back, too.
Yeah.
In 25 days, right? No, 19 days. 24th is the first, right?
23rd, Saturday, the
23rd.
It's my head to coast Saturdays.
That's
right. Zero.
That's right.
Over in Dublin between Iowa State and K-State.
What time is that game set to kick Saturday?
9
a.m. We'll actually have it on over on 9:10.
Well, I'm going to DVR it because I'm going to miss probably the first half, but time-wise with Hood to Coast coming up, it's on that Saturday. I think we should be getting to the coast at right around the second half of that game.
That'd be perfect timing.
That would
be a good
timing.
Game. Might decide the Big 12 championship for all we know.
So are you out that Friday on the 22nd?
I am, yeah. That's my only day off the rest
Hood
of the
coast,
year.
Dude. You want to go run Hood to
no,
Coast.
No, I didn't know when you were leaving and starting, and I know you were saying you got a crappy start time the other day, so...
No, I didn't say that. I have great start time.
Very
super happy about that.
Very happy about your start time.
Yeah.
No controversy here whatsoever.
Not at all.
Rest of that day, you get Fresno State, Kansas at 3:30. I would watch that game. I will watch that game. And then Stanford at Hawaii at 4:30 on CBS. I'm going to watch. That's like a triple header right there.
Why are you the way you are?
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about? Let's talk college football.
Let's talk college football. Do the coaches know what they're talking about?
I think they do. Yeah. Coaches poll.
Most coaches always know what they're talking about.
I love that we made fun of the preseason poll, and I'm like, I don't need a number. And then I saw the release, and I'm like, I'm kind of into it. You know what I mean? Like, it does get me a little excited for it.
As long as it doesn't mean anything. Like, that's the big, it does, though.
It shapes the opinion of the playoff committee. This has been my whole point, is this doesn't exist. That committee is forced to make one. We at least see where the biases start.
Yeah, this is where I want automatic qualifiers, because all that's dumb and none of this would matter anyways. If it does hold, though, we will get our first ever number one versus number two opening game of the college football season. That's never happened in the history of the sport.
I want to make sure I have this right.
Mm-hmm.
We can fact check this. I believe I saw this as the first time ever Texas has been preseason one in the coaches' poll in their history.
Really?
Yeah.
Not any other year? Not a Colt McCoy year? Not a Vince Young year? Not a Texas is back Sam Ellinger year? Not a single time number one in the preseason poll, huh?
Let me make
not
sure.
Not way back in the 60s or
70s. Yeah, I mean, coaches poll has been around since
the 90s. Season number one, first time in coach poll history.
That's a pretty wild stat.
That is a crazy stat.
Like you would have guessed at some point in their history, they would have been preseason number one in the coaches poll.
In number one versus number two games, according to Orange Bloods, they're 4-2-1 all
time. That's a good number right there.
Oklahoma's 1-7-1, and Texas A&M's never been in that game. So
No. You got to be a number one or a number two to be in a number one or number two game, and so, yeah, that's pretty select company.
You know what Texas A&M is in? A cult.
That they are. People celebrated Texas A&M Day yesterday. It was 8-4. 8-4 day. Texas A&M, 8-4. There you go.
So good.
Come on down, A&M.
Let's go through this real quick. I know a lot of you sickos out there, you love football. We love football. You've seen this, but let's run through it real quick. Texas 1, Ohio State 2, Penn State, Georgia, Notre Dame, Clemson is 6, your Duckies are number 7.
Nobody's giving us a chance.
Bama's number 8, LSU 9, Miami 10. That rounds out your top 10. Then you have ASU, Illinois, South Carolina, Michigan, Ole Miss, SMU, Florida, Tennessee, Indiana, K-State, Iowa State, A&M, BYU, Texas Tech, Boise State. Just receiving votes on the outside, Oklahoma, Missouri, Louisville, USC, Utah, Baylor, Auburn? Why is Auburn in this?
That's a great question.
I'd understand Iowa like substantially more than I would understand Auburn. I don't know what's happening there. Washington got some receiving votes. They're also included in this. Colorado is in it. And that's it. No love for my Beavs. But that's the top 25.
Yeah.
And so just kind of like, even though you understand most of these teams are going to be where they're at, it still elicits like a reaction, doesn't it?
It always does. And I think I've gone back on the take from a couple of weeks ago with Connolly. I see your larger point. I do think it has some impact on the polling, but as long as it's just for fun, I like having numbers by the names of the teams in the first week of the season. Now, if the committee gave us the rankings all year, I'd be all for that, but they'd probably try and argue it's too much work.
What would you rather have? The fun name or the fun number next to the team name or the committee number?
I'd rather have the committee ranking next to the team name, okay. But I don't think we'll ever get that. And I would like to disband the committee to begin with because I think it's ridiculous that we let a group of people decide how college football teams are ranked based on what metrics. What metrics most important to you might be different than me.
Right.
We're going to rank them completely different. It's an opinion. It's not right or wrong. It's an opinion. And I think it's dumb to rank teams based off of opinions. I still get excited, though, when I see the numbers there. We could have all told you who the top 10 teams in the country were going to be. Hey, go ahead and take a guess. Yeah, Texas, Ohio State, Penn State. Some of the standouts to me here are, it's very interesting that Illinois, to me, is going into the year and Arizona State's going into the year with the assumed they're going to continue this run because they both had tremendous years last year. Arizona State got off to a slow start, finished the season strong, won the conference. It's not always a guarantee that it continues, even though they're returning their quarterbacks. That goes for both of them. And I think a team that is criminally underrated going into the year is a team that's not in the top 25, and that is Oklahoma.
Yeah, I'm a tier.
I think what they can do defensively, yep, paired with adding a legitimate quarterback and audit running back, like, tell me how that team's not better than BYU. Why is BYU ranked in the top 25?
Well,
they lost their starting quarterback. I know that they were good last year. Why is Boise State ranked in the top 25? These are the kind of rankings.
Playoff team.
That was last year. What does it have any bearing on this year? It makes no sense.
Dude.
Remember when we did this with TCU?
I know.
And they came into the season as a top 20 team, and they played Colorado, yes, and everybody thought, wow, Colorado beat a top 20 team. And then TCU went 3-9.
Were they 3-9 that
they
year?
They were horrible. I'll go look it up, but I'm pretty sure they were 3-9.
My point is this. Look, you're not wrong, but you know how this game goes.
I know how it goes. I'm just calling out the game. That's dumb. We shouldn't be ranking anything based on what happened last year. It should be on how you think you're going to do this year. Boise State might prove to be, as the season goes on, a top 25 team that goes to the playoff. That's fine.
Yeah.
They lost 97% of their offense and one of the best running backs we've seen in the history of the sport.
Look, the SEC doesn't need more love and more attention. They get plenty of it. Like, I find it odd when teams are largely being talked about by a lot of college football junkies out there that do podcasts and do write-ups, and Missouri is one of these teams. There's people legitimately believe they could be the sleeper dark horse SEC title team.
They could go on a run.
Not even in the top 25?
No, 5-7, by the way. I was a little disrespectful.
The TCU team?
5-7 the next year.
Still not a great
national
year.
National title to 5-7.
I'm with you 100% on Oklahoma. Like, you can say whatever you want about Venables and how disappointing maybe it's been. That defense is going to be lights out. I just will assume that because he's the head coach. And if Mateer and that offense end up clicking, I think there's a real chance there Oklahoma could get to an SEC title game. I don't think it's impossible. And I'd have to look at their schedule, but you kind of go through this, and we can do this the next segment. Go through, like, how many of these teams are coming in with so much hype and so much pressure, and the minute they lose, they start questioning themselves even internally. You know what I mean? Like, if Arch is bad at Ohio State,
if he struggles right out of the gate in week one,
and they're sacking him, so the new O-line is completely getting shredded.
Right. Or Penn State, this is your year. You have your wideout game, and you lose at home to Oregon in that one. Oh, like, wait, we still can't win a big game? What the hell happened here?
Dude, it's the funniest scenario is Penn State not living up to all the hype they're getting. Like, Heather Dinich, our good friend, she's on ESPN, and she's expecting in the other poll, the AP poll, for Penn State to be number one.
I wouldn't be surprised by it.
Because the writers really like them. They're returning Aller. They got both running backs. Like, they're going to have to make up for some ground on, you know, replacing Warren and Abdul Carter. But, man, if there's any year, this is the year. But it's like, is it?
Are we sure it's the year? Also, the Michigan one for me is a head-scratcher. Michigan was 7-5 last year. They
lost. Very disappointing team.
How many guys to the NFL draft? Which happens.
No, they recruited on the
defense,
yeah,
which carried them all year.
Yep.
And they recruit, they replace, they replenish guys.
But we
no
don't
doubt.
Know what Underwood is.
But I don't know if they're going to be as good right out of the gate. And they have a true freshman quarterback that's going to be asked to play significant minutes. Is he ready for that role?
Well, the other one for me, and like, it's top 25. So, like, being in that 18-25 range doesn't really matter all that much. Like, I have these questions about Tennessee.
Yeah.
You can not like Nico all you want, but, like, they lost their quarterback.
Good luck.
Exactly.
Not an easy thing to flip from spring to fall to find a way to be contender in the SEC.
I want to go through some of the top 10 teams here, carry this over, and talk some more college football. There's an interesting thing about this that I want to play a game with you. And so we'll do that coming up next. Dirt and Sprague on the Fan.
I just took a gander at the text line real quick.
Yeah,
this is fantastic. To your wife point about not knowing days,
15 years and just like, ChatGPT told me this.
He said, I turned on the Hall of Fame game last week, and in the background, while I was cooking dinner, and my wife said, it's really cool they get all these old guys to show up and play a game. I bet they just love playing every year to relive their glory days. She thought it was an entire field full of Hall of Fame players.
It's so good. You know, we laugh at our wives, but like, it is ridiculous that we care so much about that sport.
Look, we're the problem. We have the issue. I grant you that.
You think those old guys would last? All their Achilles would pop in 2 minutes.
Where's Terry Bradshaw? Is he out there right now?
He's dead. He got sacked by Lawrence Taylor.
Lawrence Taylor ripped his head off, man.
Luka Doncic has taken a bit of a surprising short-term deal for a long-term cash-in. We'll get to that today. Turns out LeBron did contact him, just wasn't at the press conference.
Yeah, wasn't there. Him or Bronny holding out. Not showing love and support for their teammate. Where's Bronny at, huh? Was everybody pissed about that yesterday?
Did Jordan Schultz, did Corn Pop do a podcast about how outraged he was of the Nepo hire from On3.com?
Zach Herbstreit getting hired at On3? Dude, the guy's been covering...
He got a main, like, pub podcast yesterday.
A lot of people with 2,000 followers on Twitter who haven't tweeted in 18 months get jobs at big college football media companies. This is how the industry... That's how you get your gigs.
Save those takes for
getting paid. You stay off of social media, and you don't tweet, and you only have 2,000 followers, and you've never covered the sport before. That's how you get your foot in the door.
I think Mike Golic's done a good job. Like, when he got hired, I remember being a much younger, more jealous person, and I remember going, are you kidding me, dude? Like,
Mike Golic Jr., really?
You just started ESPN Radio?
Golic and Golic.
I think he's pretty good. I think he's proven himself, but he's a really good at what he does.
Yeah.
Maybe this kid will also do it, but I saw his first video, and it was an interview with Julian Sain, the quarterback at Guess Where. He calls him Jules whole interview, and I just am thrown off by that.
I think he played at Ohio State.
No,
he was a walk-on at Ohio State, so they were like teammates.
You're not doing a locker room interview. You're doing an interview for a mass audience and calling somebody whose name is Julian Jules.
What's up, Jules? What's up, Jules? Excited for the year.
What are you, Tom Brady?
Remember when Jack Collinsworth called Notre Dame games for a year and they were like, oh boy, even that nepotism we got to overlook because that guy's terrible.
We're talking some college football, though. Mail Sack Tuesday as well, so get those Mail Sack questions in. If you're new to the program because we're on the FM dial, it's great to have you. Thank you for hanging out with us every morning.
Hello.
We don't just bitch about our wives not knowing about football. We make fun of ourselves, too.
Yes, we do.
Millsack is an open-ended ask us any question. You get those questions in at 503-864-6326. That's the fan text line. You can also put them in the YouTube chat, even if there's a lot of disagreement going on in the YouTube chat on any given moment. And so we'll get to that in the 9 a.m. hour. 8 a.m. we go to Cleveland. They have 5 quarterbacks now. One has a dead arm, one has a hamstring injury, one's old, and the oldest is starting.
Yeah, it's the 40-year-old.
He's the only one that's healthy.
He is. And he led him to the playoffs 2 years ago. Remember that?
Yeah, kind of.
I mean, that led's too strong of a word.
Led him.
He was the quarterback of a team in that city that went to the playoffs. That's more appropriate.
So the coach's poll gets released, and, like, no big whoop. This whole thing's going to get thrown out anyway in, like, 4 weeks because some of these teams are going to be frauds.
Yep.
How many teams, I went back and looked, how many preseason 2024 coaches polls teams in the top 10 ended up not in the playoff?
Not in the playoff?
And how many weren't even ranked?
Well, I know Florida State was top 10. They weren't ranked.
Do this the right
way. At the end of the year. 2-10, I believe, last
year. Correctamundo. They were number 10 last year.
God, who else would have been in the preseason? Alabama was probably a preseason top 10 team. No playoff.
No playoff.
LSU, were they a top 10 team? No, not quite. Okay, not quite. Miami, I'm assuming, was a preseason top 10 team. No, they weren't with Cam Ward, really?
No, Cam Ward wasn't getting that buzz. They were 19th.
Michigan had to have been a top 10 team.
Correctamundo. There's one more.
Is there an obvious one that I'm missing?
It's obvious, but it's not one you always think is obvious.
Oh, that's tricky.
We just heard a great story about the guy leading the program.
We just heard.
Off the air. By the brand man. God, you have...
God, I'm blanking. No, I'm trying to rack my mind. I got nothing. Who was he talking about?
He told us a funny story about a Husky game.
Oh! Ole Miss.
Correct.
There we go.
Yeah, they almost made it, but
they
did.
They almost made it. Yeah, touche. I was trying to scroll through this year's top 25 and figure it out.
So if you went through this...
Was Florida State the only team, by the way, that ended the year unranked, or was there anybody else in the top 10 that went unranked? Because that's like a 10-year run now. There's one team every year.
Michigan wasn't ranked.
Touche. Michigan would have been another
one. Michigan was 7-5 last year.
That was our big non-conference game early last year. Remember, it was Texas at Michigan, and Texas went in there and just beat the crap out of them.
Well, I mean, we didn't have a good feel about Michigan. Like, no. We were talking about that on the show. And then Texas went in there, and immediately you could see the physical difference. Went, this ain't gonna go.
Nope. And they can't throw the ball.
So let me ask you this, Dirt, Andy, who are there four or more teams in the top 10 of this poll that you don't believe will make the playoff or finish ranked? Who is the team you look at and you say, I could see them not being even ranked? And that's the one that I think is incredibly difficult.
God, that's so challenging.
And I'm not going
to
play the injury game here. Yeah. I hate that. Like, if injuries happen, okay, we look back. The opinion's not wrong.
Yeah.
Injuries just came into play. What teams don't make the playoff out of that list, and what teams aren't even ranked?
I would say of the team that not making the playoffs and not ranked are totally different things. That's the difficulty of it. Like being Florida State last year and being Ole Miss is not the same, but technically based on your question that they are in the same category.
Okay, let's do this.
Not making the playoffs, I feel pretty confident. Like Miami wouldn't surprise me at all if they're out of the playoff. They were led largely by a historic season from a quarterback.
You don't think their defense could improve?
I'm not saying it
can't.
I'm not saying their defense can't improve. It should. I mean, you better hope it improves based on how bad they were last year, and it derailed their season. They had a Heisman Trophy finalist at quarterback, and it still wasn't good enough to get them in.
Sure.
Carson Beck was terrible last year at Georgia. All season.
There's no scenario where he can be good this year.
I'm not saying there's no scenario, but if you're asking me to look from the outside in at the top 10 at the start of the year and saying that to me is a guy who did not wow me in any way, shape, or form last year. And if their defense is just mildly above average and you don't get a Heisman finalist season from your quarterback, Miami also has a tricky and difficult schedule this year. They open with Notre Dame on the 31st. Now they get him at home.
That's a big game, man.
You got Florida again, who's going to be out for redemption. You get him in Miami, but that's not much of a home field advantage. You got to go to Florida State, who's going to be out for blood with what you did last year, on the road at SMU, who was a playoff team. NC State, I feel like, is always feisty. And then on the road at Virginia Tech at the end of the year. So you tell me Miami finds a way to 8-4, 9-3, and misses the playoffs. That wouldn't surprise me in the least.
So much like your take on Oregon, where you kind of have I think the depth has been built well enough for me to trust going in. You're not there with Miami Cristobal then.
Because of how bad their defense was last year.
That schedule you just rattled off, Look, I totally think you're making good points. Dorn's a good coach at NC State, right? Florida State isn't.
If you're Miami, and Miami should be better than that at this
point. So I'm just saying, like, yes. You're basically saying you don't think the depth has been established by Mario. And I'm with you on the defense. It was dog-ass last year, and it cost him a playoff spot.
It's not necessarily depth. It's more of just, like, a trust factor of, like, can I trust you? Do you trust Miami? They had everything laid out in front of them last year, and they went on the road to Syracuse, and they blew a 20-point lead.
It was an awful game to lose,
and they just had to win that game, and they're in the college, they're in the ACC title game, and guaranteed a spot in the playoff.
Yeah,
and they lost that game.
But I think the tough thing here for me is, like, has Mario built that? That's where the depth factor I think comes in. Is they didn't do it last year, but do they have the depth where they overcome those kind of games?
Should be better, no doubt. They also had a handful of games throughout the year. The Louisville game was a 52-45 game.
Yeah.
Remember, they should had no business beating Cal on the road.
Cal should have never
that game in the middle of the night. Duke had him with Malik Murphy on the ropes. They were up double digits in that game.
I still feel bad for Reese Davis.
Duke calling that game at 2 o'clock in the morning. Lost his voice. So they had a handful of those throughout the year. I totally see the talent profile, and I don't disagree with that. I think Miami's one of the most talented teams in the country. I think the difference between Oregon and Miami right now, not to make this a Mario or Lanning thing, is that
it's always going to be a Mario Lanning thing.
There's a trust factor there. Lanning literally did it last year. He went 13-0. Now, you can tell me they've downgraded a quarterback, and that's fine. I have the trust factor in them going and winning in certain situations and not shooting themselves in the foot, and that is largely who Mario has been his entire career, going all the way back to losing to Jaden Daniels at Arizona State at the end of the year when they had a chance to go to the playoff, similar last year. And so I think they downgrade a quarterback, and I wouldn't be surprised. I'm not saying out of the top 10. I don't think they're going to be a disaster. But 10-2 last year wasn't good enough for them to get into the college football playoff. The other one that I would circle, because I do think there are questions and their schedule is incredibly challenging, is Alabama. Alabama is another team with a new quarterback.
They love the Simpson kid.
Is their defense truly fixed like it's being said? They have to go on the road to Georgia. They have to go on the road to South Carolina. They play LSU, Oklahoma, Tennessee.
That's a brutal
all at home.
They
open with Florida State, who should be easy. But again, Florida State's out for blood with a transfer quarterback, and we'll see. Maybe they save face.
I don't know if I trust Norvell.
Totally
anymore.
Fine. I'm just saying in terms of non-conference games, that's not opening with Montana State.
No.
You're going on the road to Tallahassee and playing them in a tough environment. And if the fan is eating the dog poop by this point, you never know. Look out for the Seminoles.
I think there's four. If you say, like, is there scenarios for these four teams of not making the playoff? Because largely it's 9-3, right?
9-3 should be the line. Yeah.
I think it's Miami.
Yep.
LSU.
Yep.
Bama.
Yep.
And I am throwing Oregon possibly.
Oh, no doubt
in
about
this.
It.
I think Oregon could be 10-2. I jokingly do this to you, but like tripping up on a road game, whether that's Husky Stadium or a different one, like, yeah. It can happen.
Yes,
so
it can.
I think of the 10, I'm at those four, barring injury to any quarterback. Notre Dame's schedule, I think, is manageable. And if they can win that Miami game, oh, my God, what a leg up on that schedule they'll have.
Right.
I'm never not going to assume Georgia's in the playoff under Kirby Smart.
Well, their schedule's a kiss, too, this year.
They had a brutal
road last year going to Texas and going to Alabama and all that. They get all those teams at home this year.
Penn State would be the funniest 9-3 scenario because, my God, the hype. But I'm going to assume they're 10-2 or better. Ohio State, I don't think they fall off a cliff. And Texas, Texas has talent everywhere. And look, I know the offensive line's new. Yeah, ping me when it actually shows that it's dog crap, because I have a hard time believing a program like Texas isn't going to have a good offensive line, even if they're new. So,
yeah,
those and Clemson, I think, can get to a Final Four. So I look at those six and I say playoffs. I think the other four are wild cards where they make it. Also, wouldn't be stunned if they trip up and have that one game that costs them.
The interesting thing about a handful of these teams is there are some massive games right out of the gate. Like Alabama, Florida State, we can laugh at, and I totally understand that take. We'll see.
No, but it's a good game on paper for sure.
LSU and Clemson play each other.
Yeah, that's a...
You get Miami and Notre Dame playing each other.
Yep.
Those are teams that are both in the top 10.
That's a Sunday game, isn't it, Miami-Notre Dame?
I think so. Yeah. And then you get Texas and Ohio State right out of the gate.
Yeah.
So you have half of these teams, basically everybody that's not named Georgia. I don't want Georgia, I think, plays somebody tough early. Who do they got early? Georgia. Nope, I stand corrected. They do not. They open with Marshall and Austin Peay. So their schedule is a cakewalk. So Georgia doesn't have a challenging game out of the gate. Oregon doesn't have a challenging game out of the gate.
Yep.
Outside of that, in the top 10, basically everybody else you look at and say, oh, I guess in Penn State. Penn State would be the other one early. They got Nevada, FIU, and Villanova in their first 3 weeks.
Jeez.
And then a bye before they play Oregon.
In football?
And they have a bye before their toughest game of the season against Oregon. The Ohio State point's valid, too. And it's unfortunate that we've gotten here where so much of it can be decided by schedule, but that's just kind of the state of the sport. Ohio State, I have a hard time seeing missing the playoff, even if they lose to Texas at home in week one. Go look at their conference schedule. Like, unless a Washington trips them up or Illinois truly is that kind of team, their toughest Big Ten game is Penn State, and they get them at home. Now, they do have to figure out their Michigan problem and not trip up anywhere else, but you get Penn State at home, and I'm picking Ohio State to win that game 10 times out of 10.
It's almost here.
Can't wait.
Oh, I can't wait for all these takes to age poorly.
I don't think they're going to age that poorly. It's the beauty of college football, though, is that there's a team every year in the top 10 that falls on their face for like a decade straight, and picking it is a challenging thing to do.
Yeah.
I think last year was easier.
It's very tough.
Because we had a feeling of DJ after watching him in Corvallis that we're like,
yeah, that one was iffy.
That was one that was like,
I just didn't expect to be that bad.
That was bad. It got ugly quickly.
But I mean, you got to give at least this to that committee or whoever does the coaches' polls. Only missing 4 out of 10 is pretty impressive.
That's not bad, man.
Like, can we do that? Could you make a top 10 where you don't miss?
I'm going to do so. People keep asking about the dirty poll.
Yeah, we haven't really hammered that out yet.
I don't want to do it as the 12 teams that I think will go to the playoff, because that's kind of dumb, because then you got like a random group of 5 preview in there.
You're also going to have a couple teams that don't do it, and it's gonna, right, we're going to have to flex out of that.
So I'm just going to do my top 12 teams.
Okay, I like that.
And then
going into the season.
And so we can track with the coaches' poll,
okay,
who gets more teams in the college.
Oh, I'm digging that, dude.
So we'll do that bad boy.
All right, let's get to some more sports dealings next.
I don't eat the wiener.
Welcome back in. I don't eat the wiener either. It's 7:38 on the Fan.
I had a wiener this weekend.
Did you?
I did, yeah.
I was kind of proud. My youngest, we had a big family get together. We were in Seattle for the Storm game, and just to like kind of hang out, have a little getaway, we met up with my family in Tacoma. So on the way home, my daughter's been playing all day with her cousins. It was outside. It was hot. So she's like, I'm really hungry. Went to 7-Eleven because everybody wanted a Slurpee.
Who doesn't want a Slurpee?
My youngest experienced a 7-Eleven glizzy for the first time.
What'd she think? What was the review?
She liked it.
Yeah. How do you not?
The problem,
it's a spot, because if you're desperate enough for a 7-Eleven glizzy,
yeah,
that means you're out of this world hungry.
Yes.
And if you're out of this world hungry, basically anything you eat will be good.
The guy working there, very nice guy, but there were 3 hot dogs. He tried to give me the wrinkled dark one. And
no,
I'm like,
no.
We'll take that real fresh looking one that's perfectly cooked.
That one's only been in there for 6 hours. I don't want the one that's been in there for 12 hours.
Puking? Not puking. Puking? Not puking. Please.
Nothing hits better than the random. I'll still do it from time to time when I'm out of store and they got like a little deli area. If they got corn dogs up in there, I'm grabbing a corn dog on my way out 9 times out of 10.
You are like my 9-year-old, dude.
9 times out of 10, dude. You're on the way out the door. Dad, stare me in the face. Fine, I'll get a corn dog.
I want to get to this cut. We were talking some college football. We'll get to some NFL here soon. And then we have a guest at 8 a.m. To talk some more NFL. So we'll dive into some NFL coming up. We'll get into the NBA stuff, I think.
Yeah, we'll talk about it today.
Luka got a lot of money.
You know. LeBron's kind of being a baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, not a lot has changed.
Oh, De'Aaron Fox got paid?
He did.
Damn, he got paid.
I actually have a takeaway on that.
Great.
I can't wait
to dive into hoops talk with you. Look at that. It's August.
It's on my show sheet.
We have a good friend on this program. Haven't had him on in a couple years. Phil Steele of the Phil Steele Preview Mag.
Yes. Used to be on the show every week back in the day.
He was. He's released another magazine. He's got Texas ranked number one, which isn't shocking. So does the coaches poll. Here is the reason why Phil Steele has Texas number one.
You looked at the preseason. You figured it was going to be either Texas or Ohio State. And I think the Arch Manning bump did it for him. So with Arch Manning as your quarterback and probably the number one defense in college football, Texas got the call. Now, they've got some rough games this year. They've got to play Ohio State on the road. They got to play Georgia on the road, Florida away from home, and then also Oklahoma. So there's some tough schedules for Texas, but it's interesting, and I could see it. I think it was the Arch Manning bump.
Okay, so what I like about Phil does a great job. He talks to all these programs. He gets all the intel, gives you the depth charts. Phil is great at what he does. What I find funny is how he kind of almost uses his magazine as a separate person. Well, you know, I think it bumped it because of Arch.
I feel.
He's like, Pate with the model. Like, it's not me. It's the model, yeah, dude. It's the magazines ranking these teams. I'm not, this isn't Phil ranking these teams.
That's a good poll because it's a lot like that. Like, he'll cite the ranking, but he'll act as if the magazine just picked it by itself.
It just drew it up. I don't know how they put Texas number one.
Look, we all understand why Texas is number one.
Yes.
And we also understand that Arch Manning hype is out of this world right now. I'm just simply asking you, I don't know where the confidence factor is for you guys on what Arch's season will or will not be, but why is it only Arch as a quarterback prospect this year getting this and not Gunnar Stockton at Georgia?
Right.
Who, by the way, played in a pretty pivotal game.
He did.
In the playoff. Like,
he won the SEC title game against Texas. He came in and played over half of that game.
Yeah. Dude, took one of the worst shots I've ever seen a quarterback take. I don't know how he didn't die.
They won that game.
Why is he the only new-ish quarterback that is getting this? And I understand the name matters, certainly. I'm giving you that. But why are we not giving this to any other quarterback that's newish to their program?
It's funny because a lot of the other guys, when you look up and down these teams who have new quarterbacks coming in, they were all very elite recruits coming out of high school. You know, use Ohio State, Julian Sand, who I think was the number one quarterback in the country or one of the top guys in the country, went to Alabama for like a month. Saban retires, goes to Ohio State, sat for a year. You have C.J. Carr at Notre Dame, who was one of the higher-ranked quarterbacks coming out, who's likely to win that job. Dante Moore was in the same recruiting class as Arch Manning. We're just probably more down on him because we saw him play as a true freshman, and Arch Manning has been sitting and waiting for 2 years, but Dante Moore and Arch Manning were like 1A, 1B, 1 and 2,
but Arch
or 2 and 3 in
Arch
those classes.
Patsy's and then just came in and ran the football.
Same thing
like
goes for Alabama.
People.
Simpson was a high, like all of these guys, to your point, are incredibly highly touted quarterbacks coming out of high school. I think it's mainly name recognition. And the vast majority of them, I would say, outside again of Dante Moore, who we saw play and it wasn't pretty 2 years ago as a true freshman in a bad program at UCLA, we haven't seen any, like Julian Sayin hasn't played. Ty Simpson hasn't played. C.J. Carr, I believe, is a true freshman at Notre Dame.
Yep.
So you go up and down the list. There's a lot of Stockton we did see play, but he's not a young guy. I'm just using the young guys in this example.
Sure.
That we just haven't seen any of them play. And so you go with the one, the most recognizable of all of them. It is Arch Manning. It doesn't mean he's going to be the best.
Certainly. Look, you tell me this is all name-driven. I'm agreeing. I guess my point is, isn't it a little disingenuous of all of these media members to just act as if it's not the name? Because if his name is
Ty Simpson, Julian Sand, C.J. Carr.
Yeah.
You're not ranking him number one. I do think Texas is the scariest team because I think talent-wise, paired with the potential of what Arch could be, and you could do this with any young quarterback, I get it. So maybe I'm falling into the trap as well.
Sure.
Of just, like, that team feels loaded everywhere. And if you get Arch Manning to be the Arch Manning that Paul Feinbaum tells me he's going to be.
Better, the best since Tebow,
the best
right?
since Tebow. Like, then we go into the year with the thought of, hey, everybody seems beatable. And then maybe halfway through the year, you're like, I don't know if everybody's beatable.
Are you, okay, so let me ask you this, because I assume we're probably in lockstep. I think he's going to have a good season.
Yes.
Do you think he's going to live up to this kind of hype?
I don't think he will be the greatest
the
thing.
The darling since, at yes. the position?
I think he's going to be very good. I think it's hard to live up to the level of expectations that have been placed on his shoulders.
Okay.
He's in a great system. He's got a lot of talent around
great
him. His
coach.
Defense is elite.
Yep.
He's got a good head coach.
Yep.
Like, it's all there. The difference between Texas this year and last year is how challenging their schedule is, man. Like, to go on the road to Ohio State in the opening game of the season, that's a brutal way to start.
I love that they're going in, and I heard one of the pods I listened to was like, I don't know, is Julian Sand going to beat Texas in week one? And I'm like, is Arch Manning going to beat Ohio State?
On the road, like, Julian Sand's at home.
Texas could very well win that game.
Yes.
I might pick him, but like, I find it funny that that is how these narratives are formed of, could he really do it? I'm like, can he really do it?
They got to go to Florida at the end of September. They, of course, have the Oklahoma game, which will be, I think, more challenging than it was last year. They have a road trip to Georgia in the middle of November. Remember how Arch played against Georgia last year?
Will he be the best quarterback in the SEC this year? Would you gamble on that?
No, I would gamble on it, but I don't think it's a slam dunk.
Who
will
be the best quarterback in the Red River rivalry is what I think it's
John Mateer has shown me more in his career than Arch Manning has.
I'm so excited to see him in the SEC.
Dude, I think he's going to tear it up.
I
did
too.
It with Cam Ward 2 years
ago. I think Cam
ago.
Ward's going to be very, it's very similar to Cam Ward to me.
Unfortunately for the Cougs, they've become a quarterback breeding ground in Pullman, who's just, who wants a Heisman finalist? We got one for you.
Cam Ward had a funny clip after practice at Titans practice, and he was like, I don't talk to anybody. I talk to my mom. my dad, my dog. I go home and I put my phone on Do Not Disturb. And I'm like, this guy's a sicko. I kind of love this.
Now all of a sudden I'm changing my tune on Cam Ord. I like the sound of that.
But I was thinking, and I don't know why this thought popped in my head. The first big national game Cam Ward does get, because it's not this year for some reason.
Yeah, they don't have any primetime games, do they?
It's crazy that the number one pick doesn't have any. Is it Cam Ward, Washington State? Is it Cam Ward, the U?
I think he goes high school.
You think he goes out of the Texas area?
I think he goes high school.
Okay, because...
Or hometown.
Like, is a Mateer, if he has the season we think he get, he could be in the NFL, too. I just wonder, like, when you have split school careers...
That's not easy to decide.
Yeah.
And they were both... Like, Cam Ward was good at Washington State. He wasn't...
He wasn't Miami good.
It wasn't Miami really good. Yeah. And I think, yeah. And Mateer was good at Washington State.
Because Oregon loves to say, Bo Nix, Czars, but well, like at Auburn for 4 years.
He was? Well, hey, easy.
But
easy.
Not as accomplished, right?
Like 3 years, all right? Come on, it was like three
was
years.
Was it three?
I don't know.
I thought it was four.
17, probably.
6 year college player.
Trey Lance is like 8 years younger than him, man.
It's insane. we'll get to the NBA stuff. Let's get into some NFL coming up next. Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. We will get to Nick Wilson of 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. Coming up next for the ticker. They have five quarterbacks.
They do. It's a lot of quarterbacks.
Which means they have no quarterbacks.
Oh.
You okay?
I just love it. Now we're getting different meringue things chimed in. I didn't hear that yesterday. That's hilarious. We need...
Well, so this,
somebody's saying that the most that Saquon Barkley can squat is 585 pounds.
600 pounds is a lot of weight.
That's a lot of weight, dude. I consider myself relatively like strong, short, compact. Squatting is my focal point working out because I'm tiny and I don't have to go very far. Like, the idea of even doing over 400 pounds is insanity. I think
the
I got
to 350.
The
amount of crap I took for a long time.
You were publicly ridiculed and mocked for saying you could squat 300 pounds. Yes.
And I wasn't letting that go.
Rightfully so, right? So, you know. This one might be even worse. Somebody said he claimed on the show yesterday he never shot over 110 when learning how to golf. That's mathematically impossible.
Oh, man.
Mathematically impossible. If you are playing by the rules of golf.
I shot a 110 at Death Row.
Dude, I just shot a 94 on Sunday. Like, I suck at golf now. You're telling me in all the rounds when you just picked up a club, you're counting every penalty stroke, you're finishing you never shot over a 110. There is zero chance that
our listener AJ says gear is gear is steroids. I guess that's a code word for steroids.
Hey, that's great if you're juicing. I mean, more power to you. I still am questioning the claim of 600 pounds. That's a lot of weight, dude.
It's much like drug use. I would ask: is it easy to just get steroids?
I don't know. I've never tried.
Me either.
I've never tried.
I'd be down to try a cycle, but I've never tried.
Would you try a cycle and just?
I mean, not anymore because I'm not working out as much anymore. But back in my workout days, I would have tried a cycle.
Yeah, 600 pounds, like my legs would physically snap in half. The minute it goes on my back and you let go, bye. I'll be paralyzed the rest of my life.
Have we texted Sakanik to see how much he can squat yet?
I am not. I'll text him during this break.
Okay.
That was funny that you found that yesterday because you did. I will tell you this because you took it from us too. You took a lot of grief on the air when you claimed easily that you could squat 300.
Yeah, we all called him out, made fun of him for it.
And I remember like, to your credit, you did go out to Crunch and try.
He showed up at the gym during one of my workouts. We filmed the entire thing.
And 130 got put on. Your legs got wobbly.
We just put a plate on each side. 135, here's a plate on each side.
That first one, I was able to stand up. And then I think we went to 175 or 180.
Yeah.
No.
Couldn't get it off the bar.
He sat down and he said, take it off.
Take it off. It's like, all right, we got you now. We're here for you.
So you're fair at least to call that out. Because you did get called out. Like, Sukanik, I remember, came into our show at that point because we were new to three.
Oh, he publicly ridiculed you for that claim.
He stole the mic from me or Dirt and was like, let me tell you right now, brother.
I was like, he went full Hulk Hogan on your ass,
he
man.
Did go full Hulk Hogan on him. I'll text Sukanik, see what his max at his like NFL peak is.
Yeah.
College, NFL, whatever it is. Let's get to Nick Wilson. He covers the Cleveland Browns. He works at 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. They have five quarterbacks. I think the Browns are tanking. I don't know if he'll agree with that.
I don't think they need to try. I think they're going to.
How do you look at the situation and think this is good? Nick Wilson joins us, hour number three. Don't forget the mail sack in the fourth hour. But Nick Wilson, Daily Ticker, hour three, next on The Fan.